Tonight's reading is taken from Acts 3, verse 1 to 10. And if you're reading from the Bible, it's on page 1094. And if you're not reading from the Bible, you can read off the screen just there. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold, I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This is the word of the Lord.
God, will you take these words? We thank you for these words. We thank you that they are alive and living, and that they will transform our lives. So God, will you take them and will you use them for your glory this evening? Amen. Amen. Does anyone know the old school song based on this Bible reading? Because I know that Eddie Scraesfield does. Just saying. I'm not going to make him do it. I didn't know it until about 10 to 6 when Eddie started singing it. So if you want a little entertainment after the service, ask Eddie for the song. It's great. I love this passage. I love this passage. And it's a passage that I've kept coming back to over the last few weeks and months, because it really highlights to me and reminds me that God is a God on the move. God is a God on the move. He was a God on the move when this was written, when this was happening, and he is a God on the move today. And for a very short amount of time, I assure you, this evening, I want to talk about this passage, and I want to talk about this God that is on the move. As I start, I've got a question. What do you see as your greatest need? What do you see as your greatest need? Maybe it's money. Maybe money feels a little bit short at the moment. Maybe it's a friendship that feels like it's gone a bit astray, or a deepening relationship that would be really helpful with your kids or your parents or your spouse. Maybe you feel really time poor, and actually a bit more time would be really helpful. I know for me, in the stage of life we're in, I really need sleep, and I really feel like it's just not happening. And I regularly, people say to me, "You're right," and I'm like, "I'm just tired. The world would be a bit better if I'd slept till 7 o'clock this morning." What is your greatest need? All through Scripture, we see a God who cares for our needs. And that is no different in this passage this evening. We are introduced to this man who has been lame from birth. He's been paralyzed his whole life, and he's been picked up and taken to this same spot every single day to ask for money. This man has a really strong idea of what his greatest need is. He can't work because of his condition, so he is there asking for money in order to make ends meet. And the first thing I think we can learn and we can see in this passage about this man is he is a man who has underestimated what his greatest need actually is. You see, he's taken to this spot every day and he has sat there asking for money. He's sat there asking for this money that is totally legit because he needs money in order to survive. And he's met with Peter and John, these two people who have been filled with the Holy Spirit. And they look at him and they don't see him as a man whose greatest need is money. Peter says to him, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I will give you. In the name of Jesus, walk." In other words, he's saying, "You know what? I haven't got that money to give you, but I can give you something even better that is going to blow what you think your greatest need is out of the window." This man has, if you like, put a ceiling on what he thinks he is capable of. He's put a ceiling on what he thinks his potential is in life. And Peter, looking at this man, doesn't look at him and see a man who needs money. He looks at him and sees God's potential for this man. He sees a man who can do so much better than what he's asking for. He sees a man whose life could be transformed by suddenly being able to walk. And that made me think about, actually, how often are we putting a limit on God's capabilities in our life? How often are we praying in a way that is almost putting a ceiling on what we think God is capable of? There's a lady in our church who has started recently coming to a Bible study group that I run. It's called MOB. It stands for Mothers of Beacon, and it's a bit of a mob. Sometimes it's a G-mob, because there's grandmothers too. And we meet round our dining room table, and we have this big prayer board. It's a big cork board, and every week we write on it things we're praying for, and we write on it things that we're thankful for, and then we pray for all those things. And every so often we go through it, and we move prayers that have been answered into a separate section of the board, and we praise God for those things. And last year, week in, week out, this lady Karen, she was coming in and she was writing on this piece of paper, "I need a house. I need a house." Her husband had had a heart attack and they needed a house that was suitable to care for his needs. And this house just wasn't coming. Like week in, week out, the same prayer, "I need a house," and we were praying for it. And Christmas came and went, and then we met in January, the first week back in January. And I said to her, I was like, "Karen, should we try something?" I was like, "Should we give God a deadline?" Disclaimer, this doesn't always work, okay? I was like, "Should we give God a deadline? Let's try, what is there to lose?" And she was like, "Yeah, all right, should we do next week?" And I was like, "Well, maybe let's do like the end of February." So this was like beginning of January. I was like, "Let's go end of February." So she wrote on this piece of paper, "I need a house by the end of February." And we started praying, and week in, week out, she'd come and write the same thing, "I need a house by the end of February." And nothing had happened. It got to like, it was the 16th of February, and I was sat next to her in church. And I was like, "Any news, Karen?" And I was like, "Come on, God, don't let me down here. Like, you have not got long left, mate." And I was like, "Any news?" And she was like, "Well, I've got a little bit of news." She was like, "The council have called, and they've said they've got a house, and the keys will be ready by the 10th of April. And let me tell you, my reaction was the biggest overreaction to try and prove that God had answered this prayer, right? I was like, "Oh my word, Karen, that's amazing. You've heard before the end of February. You know you're going to get the keys. You can start buying furniture. We can start planning. Like, we can move that prayer on the prayer board to the answered prayer. Like, this is amazing." She was like, yeah, it's pretty good. Like, I guess God answers prayers. And then another week went by, and she came into MOB on the 26th of February, and she had this like smug look on her face. And I was like, "You're right, Karen." She was like, "Yeah, I've got some news. And she sat down. She was like, "The council called yesterday, and they've told me the house has fallen through." And I was like, "Oh," I was like, "God, what are you doing?" And she was like, "But then they said that the house next door to the house that had fallen through was actually available, and it's exactly the same as the house I was gonna get, but it's got a brand new kitchen and it's just been fully carpeted, so it's all new carpets, and I get the keys tomorrow on the 27th of February." And then she went, "Hannah, that's God answering the prayer." I was like, all right, point taken. Now, I will be, I'll level with you. For about 3 weeks after this, every prayer in Mob had a deadline on it, right? And they weren't all answered. But it was just this beautiful example of how I'd seen like this sort of like what felt like a bit of an answer to prayer. And like God was moving and there was a house coming. And I'd kind of gone, you know what, like, that's the limit here. Like, God's shown he's doing something, that's the limit. And God went, no, 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 we can do better than that. We can do better. Karen doesn't want that house that has got kind of a shoddy old kitchen and carpets. We can give her something even better. God just blew it out of the water. And Karen's faith went like this, because she suddenly saw what God was capable of in her life at that point. She suddenly was like, you know what? I deserve the house with the new kitchen. I deserve the house with the new carpets. It was just a beautiful example of God going, you know what? Whatever you think you are worthy of, whatever you think you deserve so much more when you look through my eyes. It was beautiful. God is on the move. And God is on the move in this passage. This man is healed, and suddenly he's able to stand up. He's able to walk. And it's really clear in whose name he is healed. A little bit later on in verse 16, Peter says, "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you all can see." There is no doubt about the fact that this man is healed solely because of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And this happens outside of the temple gates. Now, Peter and John are going into the temple, not because they have to go into the temple to meet God there. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. They can pray anywhere, but they've got this amazing routine of still going to pray in the temple. But I think there's something really important about the fact this man is healed outside of the temple gates. You see, this man is healed outside of the place where they're all going in to pray, because God is breaking out. God is breaking out. He's not confined to what people are used to. God is breaking out today. He's not confined to the boxes we put him in. He's not confined to the spaces we put him in. He's not confined to the language we give him. God is breaking out of all of that. There is a radical attitude that will come when the Holy Spirit is shaping our lives, because God is a God on the move. And what does that look like in our church? There are so many examples that we could give, but something that's been really poignant in the last few months is in our little church building, which has only got 60 chairs. People have to sit really close together, right? Which is all very well when you get on. It's all very well when you like the person that is sat next to you. But we're a church that is full of broken people. And I say that kind of a little bit cautiously, because every church is full of broken people. We're all broken, and we all fall short of the glory of God. I think the difference in our church is we often can see it quite clearly a lot of the time, because people wear their heart on their sleeve. And that means people come in with all sorts of drama. We call it beef. All sorts of beef comes through the doors, not just on a Sunday morning, but most days of the week. People come in and they've fallen out with another family that also come to church, or they've fallen out with their neighbour, or there's some massive family feud that is just blown up, or they think we're upset with them or something, and there's something always. And actually what we've seen this shift in the last few months, where drama has subsided, not because it's over or ended, but because people want to put Jesus first. And what that means is there's been examples really recently where we've had some huge pastoral stuff going on. We've had some massive kind of family breakdowns. And on the street, there are people that just won't look at each other in the eye, or they're crossing the road. And yet they've come into church and they've told us about it. And we've said things to them like, you know, we're not going to ask them to leave. And they go, yeah, that's okay, because they need Jesus too. And we see this example of, don't get me wrong, it's still going on. But actually, people are prepared to sit in this space and worship a God that they are united through Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. They're able to put everything aside and go, you know what? When Jesus is at the center, everything else can come second. Because God is a God on the move. Because God is a God that is breaking out of those expectations and those norms and those spaces we are putting in. You see, when Jesus is at the center, stuff changes. When Jesus is at the center, our attitude changes. Our attitude will shift. And actually, Matt touched on it earlier. But it's become more and more clear and apparent to us that actually the only thing that the church has got, the only thing that we have got as the church that no one else has got is Jesus. We're doing similar work to Blackpool Football Club, which do some amazing stuff. We're doing similar work to the food banks. We're doing similar work to the community centres and all the different people that are involved in our community. There's a whole lot of grant funding in Blackpool. And the only thing that we can hand out and go, have you tried this, is Jesus. And you know what? When you offer Jesus, stuff changes. Because Jesus is the only one that can transform. Jesus is the only one where our hope is secure and safe and will never run dry and will never run out. See, this man is healed, and he jumps to his feet, and he runs into that temple, a place he's never been able to access. And what he does, he runs in there, and he's telling others about God. He's shouting, and he's praising God. And my challenge to all of us, as we think about what is our greatest need, what is that thing that comes up when we think about that, is when God meets that need, are we telling other people that it's him? Are we telling other people that it is God meeting those needs? When money suddenly doesn't feel as tight as we thought it was going to be, are we praising God and making sure other people know that it's him working in our lives? When we have a little bit more time or we feel a bit more at peace about something, when we feel that God is meeting us in a dark moment, are we giving him the glory for that? When a relationship feels a bit stronger, are we putting that down to God working in our life? Flip, when my toddler eventually sleeps till 7 a.m., am I going to praise God for it and make sure everyone knows that it's God answering that prayer? Because I've prayed it many a time. You see, the more we praise God, the more other people will hear about Jesus and the more he will be able to transform their lives too. You see, the gospel has a name, and the name is Jesus. And he is the one who transforms. He is the one who, when our hope is found in him, it will never run dry. You see, we might think our greatest need is money or time or friendship or relationships. But actually, we don't need more money. What we need is more Jesus. What we need is more Jesus. And when he is our firm foundation, and when everything else we look at in the light and we live out in the light of who he is, we will see transformation. And it might not look like what we think it's going to look like, but he will be moving and he will be working. And it's his plan that I want to be part of. And my prayer is that that is his plan that we all want to be part of. We're going to take a moment to pray. Why don't you stand with me? In a moment, we're going to go into a time of worship. But I'd love it if we could take a moment to respond. And maybe you want to close your eyes and hold your hands out. There's nothing special about that, but it reminds me sometimes that I'm praying. That outward expression of what's going on inside. Whatever thing has come to mind, of what we get caught up as our greatest need. Maybe we want to take a moment to hand that thing over to him now. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill us afresh. We thank you that you're here. We thank you that you're with us. Jesus, we thank you that you are our sure and steadfast hope. That in your name, all darkness will cease. In your name, we can put our trust. In your name, we can depend. We pray for whatever it is that can feel like it's taken over, that has more weight than you. Lord, we want to lay that at your feet. We thank you that freedom and transformation is found in you. We thank you that you are our good God. Amen.